Our next presentation is going to also have two presenters, and the first one is, and it is Mentoring Organization Registry for the Future of Public Health, Connecticut's Public Health Association Strategy for Developing Youth as Public Health Leaders. Our two presenters are Cindy Billion Stern, thank you. She's worked in the field of youth, community, and workforce development for 20 years. She currently consults for the Connecticut Business and Biosense Science Career Academy programs. She recently developed the Connecticut Public Health Careers Project Train the Trainer program for Yale, funded through the Associations of Schools of Public Health. She's been a principal of the Billion Stern Consulting since 1995, where she's worked on a variety of projects, including directing the state's first comprehensive survey of youth health, establishing the Farmington School to Career Health Office, and developing training for workplace mentors and interns in technology and health fields. She holds a BS in from the Pennsylvania State University, an MA in Speech and Language Pathology, and an MPH from the University of Connecticut. She's on the board of directors of the Connecticut Public Health Association and of the Connecticut Forum. She co-chairs the Connecticut Public Health Association Mentoring Committee and has been an annual volunteer in Central America for Vision Health International since 2001. The second presenter will be Kristen Sullivan. She's currently Section Chief for the Department of Public Health Planning and Workforce Development Section, I assume in Connecticut. In this role, didn't say that. In this role, she is responsible for managing the public health preparedness, education, and training programs for the public health workforce, coordinating the preparedness training with the healthcare workforce, professional development activities for the state public health workers, distance learning and training evaluation through the state's learning management system, Train Connecticut. Kristen sits on the Youth Policy Council, the Allied Health Policy Board, and was most recently appointed by Governor Ralph to the Healthcare Workforce Task Force. She is also co-chair of the Connecticut Public Health Association's Mentoring Committee and working to increase awareness of public health careers in middle and high school students. And she has a master's degree in economics from the University of Connecticut and has worked both in the legislative and the executive branches of state government. And she's worked in the Department of Public Health for the last 15 years. I'll let you two take it away.
So I'm going to start off first. This is a wonderful picture of, I guess, a high school person who has been involved in some of the activities. It's my favorite picture, and Cindy put it on the front cover, and I think it's a wonderful testament of some of the youth that we are so lucky to work with. Oops. And I just want to say we have no financial relationships to disclose to you either. I'm just going to talk briefly to you about what is a CPHA Mentoring Organization Registry, why we got started. Cindy is going to talk with you more about working with the schools to develop future public health leaders and more in depth about the 21st century skills and why that's important. We're going to go over some lessons learned and then what we have in mind for some next steps. And that'll be our presentation today. Okay, so what is the CPHA more? Essentially, we have 20 public health organizations that we have essentially coordinated over the last 2 years that connect with the middle and the high schools to bring public health skills and experience to educators and the students. This picture here shows one of our mentoring organizations, the Yale Center for Public Health Preparedness, working with teens at the National Public Health Week on an emergency preparedness project. Just want to say that. One of the reasons why we got started is essentially to develop leaders for the future of the public health workforce. But working in a state public health agency, I see the worker shortages all the time. You know, most of our managers and our supervisors say to us, we can't hire qualified people for the lab in the chemist, the lab tech positions, environmental health. They're not coming in with the skills or the public health background. You know, same thing with the public health managers and the supervisors lacking those skills. So we see that all the time. One of the things we thought to do was to really take a look at that pipeline going from middle to high and see if we could build that a little bit more, expose people to public health careers. I've been to several sessions this week about the undergraduate public health education, and they were wonderful sessions, a lot on the certification exam, and then on the master's preparation. And I'm so glad people are working on that end of the pipeline. Cindy and I think it's important also to work on this end of the pipeline, and it's really not quite connected yet, and that's kind of what we're working to build. I want to skip down to the diversity. Again, this is something I see working in a state public health agency, that the people that we hire aren't always representative of the people that we need to do the work for out in the community. So that's another reason why we want to address diversity, working with the middle and the high school kids. And then lastly, to develop the leaders. Cindy's going to talk to you about the 21st century skills. I'm not sure anyone's familiar with that, but she's going to go over that. And that's a good reason for us to look at those skills so that we can prepare the leaders for the future. And she'll go into more detail about that. Just another reason, looking at why we got started, we thought if we could go into schools and we could make students aware of public health and public health careers, that an alternative benefit that we would have would be to get youth to look at their own health and their health behaviors. So we could go into a school and we could possibly get them interested about global warming and the pandemic flu and all those hot topics, but we could also talk to them about STDs and obesity, some of those issues that could directly affect them, and in the process make them more aware about their own health and their health behaviors. Okay, how the MORE works. So back in 2007, actually, Cindy approached me with her idea. We were both in the Connecticut Public Health Association, and we were both working on roughly workforce development, public health careers recruitment. I had been going into some of those schools. I was using the 10 essential services to teach public health, and Cindy reminded me that you really need to get rid of that wheel. People really don't understand that at the high school level, and she was right. So we sat down and we figured out a way, talked about how do we coordinate a system of many partners that are all focusing on public health careers, many entities going out into the schools. How do we get our arms around that and make it a more coordinated process? So we started out with a coordination of some of these public health organizations. We used a MORE membership form. I'll talk a little bit about that next. And we asked them to sign up in order to connect with middle and the high schools. And then once we have those organizations identified, what we do is we provide them with tools in the form of activities, standardized presentations. We give training to them. We make those materials available on the web so they can access them. When someone asks us to come into the schools to talk to their students about public health and public health careers, and we're getting a lot more of that now since we're in our second year of doing that, we essentially deploy one of the members on the list, and we ask them to go into the schools. And in that way, they're, you know, more prepared with those tools that we've given them and that training. It doesn't take them a lot of time out of their day, so that's important. Roles for the MORE. This is on the MORE form that Cindy just passed around. But the roles for the MORE are essentially what we do is we give them a menu to choose from. You don't have to do all of these. You can do one of these. You can do two of these. You could be a guest speaker, develop lessons and curriculum, although we do provide some of those activities already developed that they can take into the schools. Field trips, job shadowing, be a project advisor, internships, and even mentoring via email. Now, the most frequent one that people do is the guest speaker. So our year one goals, we started off simple. Now, this is a volunteer project. We do it on volunteer time. We both feel strongly about building public health careers in the pipeline and leadership, but we don't necessarily get paid. We work through CPHA to do this. So working together, our goals were to enlist 10 public health organizations, and that was fairly easy between the two of our contacts. We know people in the field, we're in workforce development. We could get those 10 public health organizations. Cindy had a contact of for the schools, and she had a way to get into some of those schools, and that was a big benefit for us because she was able in year one to kind of connect us to some of those school systems. We got one of our more members, the Yale Center for Public Health Preparedness, to develop a presentation on climate change that we used during National Public Health Week as well, that we gave to some of the ambassadors to take into the schools. And we were able to engage one community in several projects. So the results that year was we reached teachers in 30 school districts and over 200 students. So we are proud of that. Year two, we kind of took a step back. We said, you know what, we had one instance where we had one of our more members go into a school system without prepared materials. We hadn't developed them yet. And it really didn't go that well. And it was a busy professional, rightly so. And we came back and we thought, you know what, it's not fair to just send people in. We really need to give them something to go in with. So Cindy's going to talk to you a little bit more about that toolkit, but that was a really good thing that, you know, was able to get accomplished that year. We also wanted to hold a training for the educators because not only did we want to train the public health professionals, but we wanted to train the educators about public health and public health careers. So that was really key. We wanted to establish a web presence for CPHA, which we were able to do, and form collaborations with statewide educational organizations. And we were able to expand our membership to 20 organizations, really opening up now to educational organizations as well. So we want our 20 members to expand further so that we not only have the public health collaborations, but the educators in there too. So that's where we're kind of heading. And I'm going to turn this over to Cindy now so she can tell you a little bit more about the toolkit and 21st century skills and her work with the educators.
Well, what I did when I actually had the contract to develop the toolkit, and this is a little difficult to see over here, and you know, it worked out really well for us. We were able to get the toolkit online, which made all the difference in the world. And actually, if any of you are interested in using the toolkit, you can just go online to cpha.info and you can get all of these materials. We want them to be shared and used. We developed the training for teachers. And what you have to do with teachers is you've got to speak their language. Teachers are, do any of you work with schools or in schools or, no? Yes? Well, if you work with teachers, you know that unless you can show them how you're going to help them reach their goals, their educational standards or their 21st century skills, you're lost. They don't have any extra time to do extra things. So when we developed the training for teachers, we said we're going to teach you how to do public health through 21st century skills and through your Connecticut standards. When I talk about 21st century skills, are any of you familiar with these? Yes? No? Okay. You know, you have to think that the world is changing, that a student today is going to have 10 to 14 jobs by the time that they're age 38. Technical information doubles every 2 years. Top 10 jobs in demand in 2010 didn't even exist in 2004. So how are you going to know what kind of facts to train these kids with? This is the one that I love. If MySpace were a country, it would be the 11th largest in the world. And this is the new environment that we're trying to teach kids. Well, knowing this, in 2002, a group called the Partnership for 21st Century Skills formed, and it was mainly technology companies like AOL, Apple, etc., but they then joined with National Education Association and some other school organizations on the national level. And, you know, what they basically said, I should also say that this partnership has been so powerful in terms of the kinds of activities and ideas that they have generated. They now have 14 states that have signed on saying that we are not only going to expose our students to our traditional educational standards, but we are also going to include 21st century skills as learning goals for them. There are now 230 organizations on the business side and on the education side that belong. Well, here are the 21st century skills. You can see them on the right side, and you know, what do you notice? There are public health core competencies, practically one for one. With this information, I can go into a school and say, listen, we've got a wonderful way to teach your students not only the technology skills, but the skills about global awareness, about social responsibility, and I don't think there are too many other fields that can teach those as well as public health can. So how exactly does the 21st Century Skills Framework work? They aren't going to go into schools and say, listen, stop teaching English and math and all this other stuff. What they do is they have that at the base, but now they have 21st century themes of global awareness, financial and economic and entrepreneurial literacy, civic literacy, and within the last few years, they actually added health literacy. What a bonus for us. The other element of 21st century skills is get kids out of the classroom. Get them real life experiences. And if you can't get them out of the classroom, bring people from the outside world into their world. And what do those, when you get life and career skills, it nurtures flexibility, innovation, adaptability, social and cultural competence, and the result is that you start developing young leaders. You know, I want to just go back for 1 minute. When Kristen was talking about going into the school to develop young leaders, it's so important for us as adults to take this role on. It may surprise you to know that in California, for every one student in high school, for every one guidance counselor in high school, they have 471 students. And the guidance counselors report more and more that kids are coming to school with a lot of troubles, and they're not focusing enough on career activities. What they're focusing on is helping the kids just get through high school with emotional problems. So for role models and mentors from, you know, a variety of fields, including our own, of course, it's a very important role that we play in terms of exposing kids to what kind of skills they need to succeed in life and in careers. Here are some of the sample public health activities that promote leadership and 21st century skills. In Waterbury, I work in a very poor community, and I'm a consultant for a project to develop Health and Human Service Career Academy. And we started a project where kids in the health club were going to green the school. And as a result of the work that they did, you know, they would come up with some facts and figures about why it's important. At the end of the year, the principal actually went out and bought more recyclable units, and the kids are now doing much more on that. They're doing a competition that they have up to $20,000 that they can receive for the school. The materials to post, and again, these are available to you at cpha.info. These are all, a lot of them are online. Teachers can use these. Our mentors can use them with the teachers. So what are some of our lessons learned? One is that you should use your state affiliate to try and do this kind of mentoring organization network. They're easy to reach the ambassadors. We have a more presence through them. And the wonderful thing is we have 169 towns and cities in Connecticut, and we have members in every single town as schools. So it's a great connection on both ends. Communication and support of members is key. And everything that you need is really going to be on the web, and we can teach that to our members either online or in ongoing training that we've done. We have to work within our educational infrastructure. Award teachers CEUs when you do training. It allows them to get off for the day and encourages them to use the materials. It's very important to speak the educator's language. Don't try and go in there on before they're doing their standardized testing, before AP tests. Don't even try and go in after Memorial Day. I don't think you can get attention of kids with your life depends on it. The good, we always have opportunities like Earth Day, National Public Health Week, and then there's always the tomato scare, when people really want us to come into the schools. The ugly, it's the challenges of teenagers. A lot of times if you go in first period, they have their head on the desk. It's not you. Most of them don't get enough sleep, and it's just as simple as that. And the necessary, of course, is to connect everything to the standards. One important message, too, is we have done this almost all on a volunteer basis. When I developed the toolkit, that was through a grant. But other than that, we have expanded our MORE membership from 7 to 20 during our first 2 years. Our outreach has hit 1,500 students through teacher trainings, and we go in 60 communities. We have many collaborations with statewide organizations, and we've successfully completed our first workshop for teachers. So what are the next steps? Well, we've finally given up. We do need a little funding to continue this. We're engaging graduate students. They've been lifesavers, and they're just so wonderful with their creativity and developing programs, and they're eager to go into the schools. Two of our member organizations are the student organizations at University of Connecticut School of Public Health and at Yale. And finally, evaluation. We hope with funding we will have a more rigorous evaluation to build a pipeline. So the result is, I hope that you all saw the healthiest nation in one generation. The more we get out to young students, the more chance we have to diversify our workforce and to get really qualified young leaders. And we can't play this tune because it's not online right now. So I thank you.